Amen. You may be seated. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. With Mother's Day, the other Sunday, we skimmed over the chapter very quickly in order to devote time to the two midwives that not only helped to build a nation by their service, but helped to preserve a nation by their courage. So this evening I'd like to jump back into this chapter and note some of God's pillars, what I've titled Pillars of God. Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. And verse 6 reads, "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation." Let's bow for prayer. O God, please teach us from your word. We need you, we need to hear from you, and give us hearts that will not only hear, but hearts that will respond to your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So this evening, as we jump back into this chapter, the first chapter of the book of Exodus, I'd like for us to note some of the main pillars of God. Pillars of God within the book of Exodus. A pillar has a structural purpose to support a building. And also a pillar within the biblical setting, and very evident within the Roman Empire, a pillar was decorative, had a decorative purpose as well, to beautify the building. So you'd have a pillar and you'd have that decorative element of the pillar that was known as a capital. And that decorative element of the pillar was normally at the top of the pillar. The word capital comes from a Latin word which means to cap or head. And this evening I'd like to note some of the pillars of God, because God's pillars will not only bring support and structure to your life and my life, it's God's pillars. If we will honour God's pillars in our lives, they will have a decorative effect, an adornment that beautifies and brings glory to God. And these pillars that we will note this evening from Exodus chapter 1, we will find them in principle throughout the whole book of Exodus. The pillars of God. The first pillar is found in verse number 1, and that is the children of Israel. The pillar is purpose. That God had a purpose for the children of Israel. The pillar of purpose. God promised Abraham that his family will become a great nation, a source of blessing to the whole world. And God also promised Abraham and to his seed that God will provide a land. Now, the book of Exodus assumes the existence of a previous record. That's why it begins the way that it does here in chapter 1, verses 1 and following. The first six verses here in Exodus chapter 1 are in essence a summary of the last five chapters in Exodus. And we read within these chapters God's covenant with his patriarchs. And that's spelled out within the book of Exodus. For example, chapter 2 of Exodus, verse number 24. It reads, "And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob." And go to chapter 6, please. Chapter 6 of Exodus. The third and fourth verse, and then verse 8 read, "And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them, to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers." Then note verse 8, "And I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord." So we read within these chapters God's covenant with the patriarchs. And here in Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, is basically a summary of the last five chapters of the book of Genesis. Purpose. The pillar of purpose. God has chosen the nation of Israel as a means of blessing to the whole world. And it's so important that God works with purpose. Because of unbelief, Israel has been set aside this day, but there is coming a day in which God will revisit his people. God's people will be saved and be that witness and bring to a culmination God's plan that leads us into the eternal realm. See, from the moment you and I were saved, we became vessels of potential usefulness to God. The Bible teaches us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And just like God has chosen to use Israel for his purpose, God wants to use you. This is a pillar of God, that God is purposeful and God is choosing to use Israel and has chosen to use Israel as the means of blessing to the whole world. Now, during this dispensation, which will end with the rapture of the church, God works through the New Testament church. A church is likened to a body. Each body has many parts, many body parts. And in Christ, we are part of his body, the church. And God has a purpose for us, and he wants to use us accordingly for his glory. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto all men, Ephesians 4:8. See, God is purposeful. This is a pillar of God that not only will add strength and stability to your life and to my life, it will adorn God and give glory to God as we allow to have his will, his purpose within each of our lives. God is purposeful in creation. God is purposeful in that he wants to use us for his glory. He wants to use you for his glory. And just like God has used Israel to provide a savior to the world, God wants to use you to bring glory to the savior. For Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 11, the Bible reads, "According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And even back in Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Beloved, this evening, I want to remind you, God is purposeful. God is not random. God is not accidental. God is purposeful. He created all things for his glory, and we read of the fact that God is purposeful with Israel, and God has Israel in Egypt for a purpose. And so likewise, God wants to use you with purpose. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for my life. And we need to be mindful of that. The moment you were saved, you became a vessel of potential usefulness to Almighty God. God has a purpose. God is purposeful. God had a purpose for the nation of Israel. And secondly, this evening, I'd like for us to note pillar number two, providence. First pillar is purpose. That God is purposeful. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for my life. Providence. Note there in verse number one, a reference to Egypt. The children of Israel which came into Egypt. I think it's getting a little bit warm. Brother Kevin, will you please open those back doors? Thank you very much. So I don't want you to fall asleep on me, because these pillars are very, very important. And the Bible teaches us that God is purposeful, and all that God allows into our lives is for a reason. And we see here in verse number one, the first thing we learn about the Israelites is their location and their dwelling place. The children of Israel which came into Egypt. Providence. God in his providence by Joseph brought the Israelites into Egypt. Joseph was sold into Egypt initially under the guidance and leadership of a pharaoh by the name of Senoset II, which was about 1897 BC. And this was the pharaoh whose dreams Joseph interpreted and who promoted him to be governor in Egypt. And Joseph's testimony in being in Egypt is summed up there in chapter 50 of Genesis, verse number 20, that reads, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." See, Joseph could see the providence of God. Joseph could see the hand of God, and he witnessed before his own flesh and blood, "Though you meant evil, God meant it for good." And the pillar of providence needs to be it needs to be a pillar that we treasure and honor within our Christian experience. See, we read of the sons of Jacob, except for Joseph outlined here, from verses 2 down to verse number 6. Beginning with the eldest, which is Reuben. He is mentioned first and foremost. Down to the children via concubines. We see the first six children are mentioned there in verses 2 leading into verse number 3, which are Leah's six sons. All in order, we have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. These are children via Leah.
And then we have Benjamin that is mentioned. The son of Rachel is mentioned next. And then after Benjamin, note then verse number 4. We have Dan, Naphtali, which are two sons to Rachel's handmaid by the name of Bilhah. And then we have Gad and Asher, were the sons of Leah's handmaid, Zilpah. So we have order, we have structure. God begins with the firstborn, goes down to the concubines. See, the Bible teaches us in Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God is a God of providence. And God brought his people down to Egypt for a purpose. It was not accidental. It was the providence of God. And see, Joseph could see that. That's why he said before his own flesh and blood, you meant evil, but God meant it for good. It was no accident that God's people came into Egypt because of Joseph. God was working for his glory in the building of a nation. The preserving and then building of a nation there in Egypt for such a time as this. God is not wasteful in what he allows into our lives. God is not wasteful where he puts us at different times of our lives. See, in Esther chapter 4, verse number 14, pardon me, it reads, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That was the testimony in relation to Esther. You're here in this position for a reason. And beloved, this evening, you and I need to praise God for the pillar of not only God's purpose, that God is purposeful, but also the pillar of providence. Wherever or whatever your Egypt is at this time, don't lose sight of the fact that God has placed you there and God has a purpose in placing you in your Egypt at this time. Wherever that might be, whatever it might be, whoever it might be, God is a God of providence. God makes no mistakes. God is purposeful. He is a God of providence. And even though on the outward, Joseph's brothers sold Joseph into slavery, God was in control. God was over Joseph. God was going to use Joseph to not only preserve a nation, but build a nation for his glory. Praise God for his providence. Praise God for his providence. I'm so thankful that my family migrated to Australia. I often wonder if I was still in Italy, would I have heard the gospel? Providentially, my family migrated to this Christian-based nation. And this is where I heard the gospel. Glory be to God for his providence. The pillar of providence. The pillar of purpose. The pillar of productivity or fruitfulness. Note then verse number 7, please, of Exodus chapter 1. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 7, it reads, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Jacob's descendants from 70 men, the Bible teaches us, were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, waxed exceeding mighty. Productivity. Jacob's descendants increased. They were fruitful. They multiplied greatly and became great in number and became a nation. The Bible teaches us the land was filled with them. In Acts chapter 7, please, verse 17. Stephen, as he preaches this sermon here, makes reference to this fact. In Acts chapter 7, verse 17, it reads, "But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt." The land was filled with them. There was productivity. There was fruitfulness. And see, when God has his purpose, when we allow God to fulfill his purpose in our lives and we see the hand of providence over our lives, God can enable us to be fruitful or to be productive. It is estimated that from the time of Joseph's death to the growth of the nation described in this verse, chapter 1, verse number 7, was basically a period of about 100 years. And this verse here, Exodus 1, 7, shows us the great productivity of Israel over those years. From 70 to a great nation. God had provided for them. God had blessed them abundantly, just as he had promised. Note back there in Genesis chapter 15, please, verse 5. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. So God said, I will bless you abundantly. And when Israel finally left Egypt, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 37, there were no less than 600,000 men besides children. God calls them to be fruitful. God calls them to be productive. They were fruitful because God promised them that they will be fruitful as the people of God. And beloved, may I remind you this evening that God has promised those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, if we will abide in Christ the vine, we will be fruitful. This is a pillar of God. Productivity, fruitfulness. God wants to hang his fruit on your life and my life. Back in John chapter 15, please. The Gospel of John chapter 15. Note verse 5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Fruitfulness. Look at verse 16 for the sake of time. "Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordain you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." So God promised productivity. God promised fruitfulness. This is a pillar of God. This is a pillar of God. God has promised those of us that know him as Savior, if we will abide in Christ, that we will be fruitful. We will be productive. Herein is the Father glorified via much fruit. So the more your life bears fruit from heaven, God is glorified more so. But we need to abide in him. We need to abide in him. Fruitfulness is the evidence of life and health. And as Christians, we should be giving the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The pillar of purpose. God is purposeful. The pillar of providence. God is in control. God uses Egypt in your life, in my life. God of providence. God is purposeful. Productivity. Another pillar of God. That God wants you and I to be fruitful. While God's people were there in Egypt, the Bible teaches us they were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, waxed exceeding mighty. That's fairly descriptive, is it not? It doesn't just say they grew. God has gone to some effort to communicate to you and I that God's people didn't just grow, they grew extraordinarily. They grew supernaturally. And that's God's will for your life. That's God's will for my life. It's a pillar of God. Now, as we go back to Exodus chapter 1, note there verse 8, please. Look at verse number 8. Now, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. That knew not Joseph. The fourth pillar I'd like for us to note this evening is the pillar of power. Power with God. Power with God. We read here in verse number 8, the king that replaces the Pharaoh of Joseph's rise to prominence has no connection to Joseph. Because as it reads there in verse 8, concerning this new king over Egypt that knew not Joseph. See, the name Joseph meant nothing to him. And this lack of personal knowledge of Joseph ultimately led to the destruction of Egypt. This new king, I am sure, knew a lot of things. But he did not know Joseph. Therefore, he did not know of his value to the people of Egypt. It is important what we know. It is important who we know. It seems that who we know gets us further than what we know. Are you listening? I'll say it again. It seems that who we know gets us further than what we know. This current king did not know Joseph. And beloved, may I submit to you that a lack of pertinent, critical, important knowledge is always detrimental. Only God is omniscient. We need to choose wisely what is important to know and who is important to know. The Israelites have been in slavery for at least 200 of the 400 years in Egypt, approximately. And this king that is mentioned here in verse number 8 did not know Joseph. Hyksos people with their king
were the ones that ruled in Egypt at this time. They originally came down from Asia and ruled Lower Egypt. And it's believed that the king that did not know Joseph came from this group of people. They were not large in number. So it makes sense they feared the vast number of Israelites. The Hyksos people brought Israel into bondage. They did not know Joseph. Keep your finger there in Exodus chapter 1 and turn with me to Hosea chapter 4, please. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6. Hosea 4:6 reads, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." Sad commentary for the people of God. God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That is, the knowledge that they should know. The one that they should know. And God is pronouncing a judgment upon his people because they know, but they don't know that which is needs to be known. That which is essential to be known. See, a failure to personally know Jesus Christ as personal Savior will lead you to a Christless eternity. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except via me." For a person not to know Joseph, for a person not to know Jesus Christ as Savior, will lead to a Christless eternity. That's why the Lord Jesus made the statement there in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, "I do not know you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity." Let me ask you this evening, do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Savior? Do you know the Joseph, Jesus Christ, who has provided salvation for all mankind? See, there is no greater deficiency in time and eternity than not knowing Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And for those of us that know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, how well do we know Him? For many of us, we would make the statement in relation to individuals in our lives, "I know him, but I don't know him very well. Or I don't know her very well." And this pretty much sums up the average Christian. It was the Apostle Paul who said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. 1 John 5:20. "And we know the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, do we know him intimately? Or do we just know of him? Do we know Jesus Christ intimately? Because there is power with God, with those that know Christ Jesus intimately. What about you? The pillar of power with God comes by a intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Our minds are full of so much stuff. Oh, may God help us to be selective. And may God help us to choose to know God more than anything and anyone. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the holy. The knowledge of the holy, that's what we really need to know. See, back in Exodus 1:8, the Bible reads, and there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. The pillar of power with God, by knowing God intimately. And last but not least, note there in verses 11 to 14 of this chapter, Exodus chapter 1, verses 11 to 14, the pillar of pressure. The pillar of pressure. The pillar of purpose. The pillar of providence. The pillar of productivity. The pillar of power with God by knowing God intimately. And now, last but not least, the pillar of pressure. Pressure purifies. Pressure multiplies. Note there in verses 11 to 14. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in brick, and all manner of service in the field. All their service, wherein they made them serve, was with rigor. We read in these verses that forced labor was established with the people of Israel, requiring them to build the royal store cities, two main store cities. They were mistreated, they were oppressed. In fact, their mistreatment, their oppression, was predicted back in Genesis chapter 15. If you go back to Genesis chapter 15, in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 5, it talks about their fruitfulness. But note there in verse 13 of Genesis 15, chapter 15, verse 13, pardon me, Genesis 15, 13, and he said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. The slavery in Egypt was likened to iron melting in a furnace, according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 20. And in spite of the ruthless treatment of the Israelites, God blessed them and prospered them. And this was a real concern for the Egyptians. Enslavement was only partially effective, so Pharaoh decided on a more aggressive policy, which was to kill all males born. See, life has changed for the Israelites dramatically. The first 200 years, in contrast to the last 200 years. And may I remind you, my friend, that nothing stays the same on this side of eternity. Nothing stays the same. We wish, but that's not reality. Nothing stays the same. Why? Because of the fall. And secondly, because for our betterment, ultimately, only in eternity will we dwell in an eternal haven of rest and peace. And we in Christ have that hope. But until that glorious moment, things will change. And part of change is pressure. See, while Joseph was present and known, God's people lived well in the best part of Egypt.
The Pharaoh of Joseph's era gave them land in the most fertile portion, the area of Goshen. They not only enjoyed a high standard of living, they also grew and multiplied numerically, as we've already emphasized. But with the new king deciding to enslave God's people in order to halt the growth, the opposite took place. They continued to grow. And the harder the Egyptians made life for the Israelites, the more they grew. See, God is interested in our growth. God wants you and I to grow. God wants us to grow not only in quantity, fruitfulness, but God wants us to grow in quality, in Christ-likeness. And it seems in order to produce greater quality, that is, Christ-likeness, it seems that God just needs to, from time to time, turn up the heat, so to speak. As 1 Peter 1:7 reads, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. Though it be tried with fire, not might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Job said in chapter 23, verse 10, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The pillar of pressure. The pillar of pressure is the means by which God purifies and multiplies our lives for his glory. Do we welcome the pressures of life? May we see them as means by which God not only purifies us, but he causes us to be more fruitful and become more like Christ. And if we would have this mindset, it might help us to be thankful for the rigor that he allows into our lives. That word rigor is mentioned a number of times in the passage that we just read. The word means to break, it means to crush. The slavery that the Israelites were experiencing was inhumane, to say the least. Yet they grew extraordinarily. They grew. See, all things work together for good to them that love God. And God will use the pillar of pressure to shape you, to shape me for his glory. Do you want to be more like Christ? I mean, really be like Christ? Not just look the part, but really be like Christ. Then welcome the rigor. And be bold enough to say, Lord, I need more rigor in my life. I need a little bit more pressure because I know I'm so lacking in Christ's likeness. Oh God, do what it takes to cause me to grow into your likeness. Here in Exodus chapter 1, we've noted five pillars with decorative, I say decorative, capitals on top that God uses to not only strengthen us spiritually, but also to adorn us for his glory and for his usefulness. The pillar of purpose. God had a purpose for Israel. God has a purpose for you. The pillar of providence. God used Egypt in order to build a nation. And God will use your Egypt to build you. The pillar of productivity, fruitfulness. God wants us to be fruitful. The pillar of power with God by knowing God
intimately. And last but not least, the pillar of pressure. When the pressure was on, then God's people really grew. See, each of these pillars stand tall throughout the book of Exodus. These pillars are eternal principles and relevant for all of us, and not just for the nation of Israel. And as we continue to study this blessed book, the book of Exodus, we will note these five pillars time and time again, fleshed out within this wonderful book. Will you accept these pillars in your life? Do you see what God is doing in your life? See, God is not only interested in our salvation, He is also interested in our sanctification. And the Christian life can be summed up in this way from the book of Exodus. Led out of bondage, salvation, led into the promised land. A life of sanctification, the victorious Christian life. And God will use His five pillars to lead us toward that end. So I'd like to encourage you this evening to accept the pillars of God and allow God to have His purpose. Allow God to work His providence in your life and my life, and to accept with thanksgiving the pressure that God allows in your life and my life, that He might purify us and multiply us for His glory. Let's bow for prayer.